The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove spring training edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Nick Diamond, Charlie Smith. Gonna give some more thoughts on the Alex Bregman situation, and or I should say signing. It's not really a situation at this point. And we're going to give some thoughts on Sam Kennedy and John Henry. Have they won us back? So thanks again, guys, for coming on. And Charlie, let's just hit the ground running. You weren't on with us last night on the emergency show. You've got an Alex Bregman tattoo somewhere on your body. Kidding.
Yeah.
The long-term audience knows how Charlie feels about the Houston Astros. So go ahead, Charlie.
So, and you know, it's crazy because there's a couple of feelings. My feelings around Alex Bregman surround the whole situation around the Houston Astros and the whole scandal. Not thrilled, not happy, don't love it. We have Alex Cora here, and a lot of people are upset about that. He was gone for a year. He came back. He felt that that was a fair punishment. I never really felt like, I don't know who the guys that were blamed the most in Houston. I think Altuve for wearing the buzzer, allegedly. I still think he did it. And then Correa got the second most amount of blame with Alex Bregman. At one point, you have to just say, you know what? It may not be the guy you want, but he could be the guy that you end up wanting for the year. We needed a right-handed bat. We got our right-handed bat. We're going to find a way to come close to replacing Tyler O'Neill in the sense of a good amount of power. We're also replacing O'Neill's availability because, truth be told, the amount of injuries that that man had during the course of the season was absolutely insane. But I don't necessarily hate the ad. It's tough. At $120 million over 3 years, the total valuation of the contract comes out to about $90 million over 3 years. So, okay. But if he ends up playing second base and Devers doesn't feel like he's threatened at that position, he has the ability to possibly be one of the best second basemen in the American League in a not really loaded class. So the one thing that Tom Caron brought up, and I'm going to shout him out, was the Red Sox lack that experienced veteran hitter that they've had in the past. You know, David Ortiz was there. Manny Ramirez was there in the past in the early 2000s, mid-late 2000s for Ortiz. Obviously, Ramirez wasn't there for that. And then we had Justin Turner, who's a professional hitter, you know, 38, 39, 40 years old. A lot of experience, a lot of miles. He gets it. Alex Bregman, I'm hoping, is going to be able to bring that level of leadership because he's going to turn 31 this year. Actually, he's going to turn 31 next month. So there's that. I really just have to say at this point, I wasn't a huge fan of it, but we needed to replace that bat, and now we have. So at this point, I'm going to have to take, as it's been coined, I'm taking the L here, and I just have to say, you know what? I'm going to have to just accept the fact that Bregman's here. I hope he does well. Nick and I briefly spoke about it. My hope for him is a floor. You know, he's only hit 260, give or take, the last couple of years. But if he can somehow go, you know, 290, 26 to 28 home runs, maybe 90 RBIs, I think there's a chance that he can reinvent himself with that wall out in left field. And maybe he maybe he does opt out thinking he's going to get more money, which would potentially open the door for the Red Sox to spend big money for another right-handed bat that's going to be available, hopefully. That's my hope. But, you know, at this point, I have to accept that Bregman's here. I hope he does a fantastic job here. I know he's probably going to get booed, but I hope the rest of the team can rally around him and he can be a voice in that clubhouse and a true leader in that clubhouse, because truth be told, I don't really know who I would say is the elite captain of this club right now. Who would you say is the person that people are looking at as the voice of the clubhouse?
Probably, there was a lot of talk that it could have been Rob Refsnyder last year, but Trevor Story is another one. I don't know if Nick brought that up previously or someone did, but we've seen Trevor Story become more vocal in the last 8 to 10 months. So,
I know you brought up the Alex Bregman and the cheating scandal, but Alex Bregman is a winner. He won in college. He won in major leagues twice. He's got 2 rings. I think he's going to come in here and he's going to compete. And whether it's at second base, whether it's at third base, I think he's going to put up a 275, 25 to 30 home runs. And he's going to be better than Tyler O'Neill. I really think he's going to be significantly better than Tyler O'Neill. He'll play 150 games. He's never really been hurt in his major league career. And he plays good defense, at least at third base. And if he can play good defense at third base, I'm a guy that thinks second base is a way easier position. It's a shorter throw. I guess the footwork is a different thing, but, you know, he played shortstop in college. Like, I think he can handle second base. I don't know if I want him at second base. I personally want him at third base, but I think he can 100% handle second base. I think this – what Breslow set out to do was to enhance the infield defense, which he did, and get a right-handed bat that could hit bombs over the monster. So I think this is a great signing. $40 million is nuts. It is. But you had to do it if you wanted to get Alex Bregman, because he was going to go to the Tigers. He probably would have just taken that Tigers deal if the Red Sox didn't go $40 million after the Nick Pivetta signing. I think those are directly correlated. Like, they have to be like, as soon as Nick Pivetta signed, we saw the Alex Bregman announcement, so I really think those are perfectly aligned here. So we'll see what happens, but I think he plays second base for at least half the year, and I think he'll be fine at Fenway Park. I think this is what he wanted. It's nice to see a guy who wanted to come to Fenway Park and compete for a ring. I don't know if we're going to get a ring. Obviously not. I don't think we're going to get a ring, but I think we're one of the top 5 teams in the AL now.
One quick thing, too. Bregman was originally drafted by the Boston Red Sox back in 2012. Really, really late, 20-something round.
It was 29th, yeah.
Yeah, 20-something round. I remember that, and I was like, I knew I didn't like him. And this is years ago when I remember talking about this with a couple people. I like the floor that you set, because we're kind of similar. I don't know if he'll get to 30. Maybe he'll be able to reap the benefits there. If Trevor Story, for whatever reason, can't hack short, or there's a concern for health and he needs to shift over to second, I'm curious to know how well Alex Bregman would be able to manage short. I really am curious. I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, like you and I are aligned, right? But if for whatever reason Trevor Story's not doing it, then, you know, we do have other options. I don't think Bregman's going to move there. I'm just curious to know, like, what it would look like if he was, for whatever reason. And he also, he has experience playing in the outfield too, right?
I thought he did, at least.
Okay. I thought he did. I stand corrected then. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, $40 million was insane, because we were talking about other, you know, big bats that we wanted. And the one that I'm thinking of, if he's getting $40 million, how much are you going to offer Vladdy? And what do you think he's worth? Because if you're willing to pay Bregman 40, you can't offer 40 to Vlad.
You can if it's over 12 years. At 26 years old, you can offer Vlad
$500 million. That's
40, what he's going to get. I think that's what he's going to get. Around $450 to $500 million. I think he gets that.
Yeah, if you're going 40 per, 40 at 10 years is $400 million. Add two more years, that's 480. I think there's a chance there's probably going to be a team that exceeds that and offers over 500 and over $520 million. I really do.
A couple of things we didn't go over last night, you know, because we came on right away. It was a true emergency podcast. Like, details were trickling in as we were recording. But if you look at Alex Bregman's Fenway Park numbers, off the charts. It's not a huge sample size. It's only 80 at-bats. He's hitting .375 with a .490 on base, .750 slugging in a .1240 OPS plus. That's insane. Now, obviously, that's not going to be who he is, but I just think change of scenery, a ballpark that suits him about as well as Minute Maid did, and he's on a team that essentially will resemble the 2017 Houston Astros that, you know, that, well, that was a cheating team, but at face value, that was the start of their run of seven straight appearances in the ALCS. He's basically in that situation all over again. And perhaps that's why he wanted to come to Boston. He probably saw the writing on the wall in Houston. I think Houston could win the division this year. They had some nice pickups this year. I don't love their situation long term, but I think he could have went back to Houston this year, won the division, maybe made some noise in the playoffs. But I think Boston currently presents the best opportunity to go on that run.
I totally agree, and I think he definitely wanted to be here. I think the best part of this signing is that it opens up a ton of flexibility that if Trevor Story does get hurt, you can move Sidon Rafael to shortstop, and you can replace him with Roman Anthony, like, in the lineup. You move Duran over to center field, and you put Roman Anthony in at left field, and you might add a superstar. I don't think Roman Anthony's going to be a superstar right off the bat, but you might be able to replace, like, a guy like that, and just, it won't miss a beat if Trevor Story gets hurt, you know? Like, I think this signing just makes the Red Sox depth so much better. And he could play second, he could play third, he could probably play shortstop if he absolutely had to. I don't want him there, but it could happen. And I think this signing is great for this.
I think Trevor Story at this point in his career is basically what Steven Drew was to the 2013 Boston Red Sox. I don't expect much of anything out of him offensively. So if you were to essentially lose him, I don't think that hurts you. I think Rafaela for 2025 would come into shortstop. Meyer eventually, if he can stay healthy, will come up and take that position, and then Rafaela could go back to the outfield. That outfield situation, and I don't really want to get into it now because we got into it quite a bit last night, but you send Christian Campbell out there, that's a crowded outfield. Duran's in the lineup every day. Anthony will be probably in the second half of the season top. So now I don't even know what Rafaela's role is long term. Probably a super utility guy, but it's not necessarily an everyday role at this point. And then Willy Abreu just doesn't have a spot. You can pinch hit him here and there, give him a spot start, I guess. But that's one of the consequences of bringing in Bregman. It's not a bad consequence, but there's a lot of housekeeping to be done here in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, is Yoshida gone? Or does the Tristan Casas trade finally happen now? And maybe that frees up some space. So it's all going to be interesting, but I think we're solidly a playoff team now. I mean, do you guys have us comfortably in the playoffs at this point?
I'll go, I guess. Before this signing, I had them about borderline the 7th to 8th best team. They were either the last team in or the last team out. Now I comfortably put them in the playoffs, yes. I think they're a playoff team with Alex Bregman. And I don't even know if they're done adding at this point. Like, if you go and pay $40 million to Alex Bregman, why can't you go add to the bullpen? Why can't you go add another starting pitcher? I don't know. Like, you might as well go all in. If you're over the luxury tax by $7 million, why not just go all in? I mean, I guess there's a path to get under if you can attach a prospect to Yoshida and get that contract off, at least like eat half of it and try to get under the luxury tax. You might be able to do that, but I don't see that happening. Nobody's taking Yoshida. I mean, if you still want to get the Garrett Crochet contract done, that's going to bump up his AAV. So I think they're over for the long haul, at least for this year and probably next year. I don't think Story's opting out. That's not happening.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't know if you can get under next year, especially if a Crochet extension happens, but Walker Buehler will come off the books. So that's going to be $20 million off the books. Chapman will come off the books. So there's another 10. I firmly believe, and I'm not sure I hate it at this point. Maybe I'll change my mind at the end of the season, but I think Patrick Sandoval is Buehler's replacement for next year. So, and that money's already on the books. So I don't want to be the Dodgers. I know, and we're going to get to ownership here in a second, but, I don't want to perpetually be over the luxury tax every year. I think drafting is important and, you know, and balance. And so it's going to be curious to see how it all works, because Campbell and Anthony are going to most likely get extensions. Although with Anthony, he kind of gave a smug response a month or so ago. Like, he's like, well, I might be willing to have a conversation about it. So perhaps he's not a lock. I think Campbell probably would be. And honestly, this might be a crazy take, but being just so lefty heavy, I might even value Campbell a little bit more, even if his ceiling isn't quite as high.
So I think I tweeted something out last night to someone random. With this Bregman signing, you can just kind of play with Campbell. Hey, if you sign this extension, we'll move Bregman to third base, and then, or not move him, that's where he plays, but you will be guaranteed the everyday second baseman job if you sign this extension now. If not, we'll send your ass to AAA. I just swore Charlie's on the pod here tonight, but
ass is okay. That's not, yeah, the F-bomb, I guess, was a little much, but...
But if you can just play around with Campbell and be like, hey, if you sign this extension, you're the everyday second baseman, Bregman is the third baseman, and we'll move Devers to third. If you don't, you're going back to AAA. Like, we have the depth now to send you back to AAA. 2 weeks ago, 3 days ago, Christian Campbell was your three hitter. Now he's probably your 5-7 hole hitter at your second base. Like, I think you have a lot more leverage in these talks now. Like, if you want to play this year, you sign this extension and we'll put you on the opening day roster.
Well, I said last night that if they don't sign deals before opening day, they will be in Worcester at least for the 3 weeks. Like, that's gonna happen if they do. And then I guess even if they do sign the extensions, it's not gonna matter if they're in Worcester or not, because they're getting their money. But but guaranteed they're gonna be a member of the Boston Red Sox for an extra year if they don't sign an extension.
You were asking earlier about playoffs, and so just to follow up what Nick said, I think you can call them a playoff team, assuming that everything goes according to plan. You know, every team's going to deal with injuries, and if the Red Sox don't deal with a major bout of them, I think there's a fair shot that they can make the playoffs given what we've seen so far. I'd be shocked if, you know, everything fails all at once, because you want to assume that there's going to be a degree of improvement for a lot of the young kids. And you also added two star pitchers to your rotation we have not had in a very, very long time. Garrett Crochet, probably a one on some teams, including ours. And then you added the guy who got the last pitch. Actually, I'm pretty sure he strike out Verdugo to end the World Series. So yeah, Walker Buehler and Garrett Crochet up at the top of the helm, assuming that they're able to give you two proper seasons. Yeah, you should have a playoff team there. I would be shocked if that were not the case.
I just think when you look at how weak the AL is this year compared to the NL, I've went from third place, fourth place to almost maybe first place with Alex Bregman signing. Like, I think they have a chance to win the division. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do think they make the playoffs now. Like, I really do think like 90 wins is in play. I don't think I would have said that 2 days ago. Absolutely not. I think this changes everything. I think Alex Bregman is a winner. He's won two World Series. I think he's going to make a big impact on younger players. I really do. I think this is a huge deal. And just how bad the AL is. If this was 2009 when the Yankees were the best team of all time, like, I don't think they win the division. But I don't think the Yankees are that good. The Orioles have gotten worse. The Blue Jays have gotten worse. The Rays might have gotten slightly better with some returning players, but like, they're not going to win the division. I don't think so. I think this division could happen. Like, the Boston Red Sox have gotten significantly better with Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, Aroldis Chapman. Who cares? But Alex Bregman, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, no matter what you care. Like, if you think that he cheated, I don't care at this point. Like, I'm a big Barry Bonds guy. I'm a big Mark McGwire guy. Like, they cheated. Who cares? They're part of baseball history. They're still great baseball players, and I'm happy Alex Bregman's on my team.
So I tweeted very similar sentiments earlier. I have us at 93 wins with a distinct possibility to win the division. Now, is there any other team other than the Yankees that you can comfortably say will finish ahead of the Red Sox just in the AL East?
I think if the Orioles get Dylan Cease or Michael King, then yes. But if not, then no. Like, if they get that starting pitcher that replaces Corbin Burns, I still think they have the potential to be better than everyone in the AL. But if they don't get that ace, that stud, then no.
That's a solid point.
Yeah, I'm with you too. If I don't think the Yankees are going to take a step up, I don't have any faith in Toronto. Tampa Bay always seems to find a way to make gold with nothing, but they don't have some of the other pieces that they had this year. I'm with you, dude. I think that really Baltimore is the only one. Dark horse, maybe Texas. Tampa Bay. I don't think it's going to be New York.
I have a tiny thing. If Jacob DeGrom goes down and shoves, it might be them. If Jacob DeGrom bounces back and can pitch 160 innings, maybe Texas Rangers. They won the World Series 2 years ago. Even then,
you're talking about AL East, though. If you're just talking about AL East,
about the best team in the AL, like I don't even think there's a great team in the AL. Like, there's not a single good team. The Yankees got worse.
Yeah,
the Central is not great. The Royals, what are they going to win? 95 games? No, they might, but I doubt it.
They did make a couple of moves. I don't have their depth chart up, but I think it's reasonable that they could win the Central, you know, possibly. But let's look at the Yankees real quick. Who knows with Garrett Cole? I mean, major step back last year. The dude's a negative Nelly, you know, to be around. I think they have a clubhouse problem there, as I said last night. Carlos Rodon, he could be amazing. He could be in a million pieces on the injured list. Max Fried should be solid. He did have a couple of arm issues last year. We'll see, but at face value should be solid. Luis Gil, bit of a wild card. I mean, he was on paper. He looked pretty good last year, but had some control issues. Who knows if that gets addressed. And, you know, so that's the rotation. I think there's question marks there, but it could certainly be very good. Their bullpen is very good, and that's all there is to it. But then, you know, first base, you got Paul Goldschmidt. That'll be okay, especially in that ballpark where he's a lefty. DJ LeMahieu at second base, not great. Third base, Jazz Chisholm. He's an electric factory, so that's good. Anthony Volpe, you're still waiting for it with him. I mean, he's got all the potential, but just hasn't gotten there yet. Then that Jason Dominguez guy finally will play a full season in left field. We'll see. I don't love the Cody Bellinger acquisition. And then Aaron Judge should be okay, but is he going to be healthy? I don't think that it's an automatic no that the Red Sox can't beat that team.
I agree. The one thing I'll say about Cody Bellinger is I think he's built for that ballpark. Like, he can miss hit balls.
I agree with
you. Pop-ups to right field. He might hit 40 homers. I also can see him flaming out and hitting like 190 with 15 home runs. Like, I'm so in between on him. I have no idea what to expect. He can either be the Hall of Fame talent we saw when he was 25 years old, when he was great with the Dodgers and won an MVP, or he could be just the flame out that absolutely stinks. So I'm so confused what they're going to do with him.
I don't think there's any question that everybody would rather have Juan Soto than Cody Bellinger, right? That's it. But you're right, though. Right field at Yankee Stadium, a complete joke. A joke. And somebody like Cody Bellinger that has that perfect, like almost kind of golf swing. Like when you see him swing that bat, if he's swinging when he's supposed to swing right on time, he's going to hit over 30 home runs. Now, I don't think he's going to hit 300 this year. And he does have the speed. He's tall, lanky. He's going to play great defense. He's definitely going to hit above 200. I don't question that for a second. And I definitely think he's going to be a 3,100 guy, assuming he can stay healthy. But I don't think there's the same level of fear in the Yankees lineup. You add Bellinger, you've lost Soto. That doesn't give Aaron Judge the same level of protection. So, or protecting the same, you know, vice versa. I think that as far as that lineup's concerned, it's going to be good, not great. But yeah, Gerrit Cole was injured last year, which is why he wasn't there the whole season. To Terry's point, he is very negative. He's not getting any younger. And you are going to slowly start to see the decline in that rotation. So yeah, I mean, dude, it's the AL East is up in the air for a couple of teams, two of them not really a threat. Can the Yankees make some additions? Yeah, sure. They're the one team that's not afraid to make additions. I absolutely bet that they're probably going to add somebody else. You just got Max Fried. Fried's probably, you know, right there next to Cole, if not better than him right now. And Fried, the only thing for him is I hope he doesn't get injured because he's had a couple problems too.
The one thing I'll guarantee about the Yankees is that they won't suck. I mean, they might win 84, 85 games, but they're not going to be terrible. I mean, I still think they're going to win 90-plus, but, like, they're not going to be terrible. They have four MVPs in their lineup. Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Paul Goldschmidt, and Giancarlo Stanton. I know those are
right,
all
but two of them
guys.
Aren't the same anymore.
Yeah, they're not the same anymore, but they're still MVPs. It's more than the Dodgers have. I mean, yeah, but if he has three himself, but, like...
You can't compare those lineups. That's not even fair. One lineup is like destined for success. At this point, it should be the Dodgers versus whatever team you want to put together for the World Series because their team is so stupidly insane. They have two starting rotations. They have starting pitchers 1 through 10. It's insane.
I don't disagree, but like I don't think the Yankees are terrible. Like I still think they could easily go back to the World Series if everything clicks because the AL is so bad. We're talking about the Royals and the Tigers, who are not great teams. The Tigers missed out on Alex Bregman to us. And they still might win their division. I mean, the AL is
that's not saying much, though. I mean, the AL Central has been a joke for a couple of years. What, Terry, what was it 2 years ago where like the best team in the AL Central was like one game maybe above 500? I forget what year it was for the longest time.
I think it was 23, yeah, because
it was 1 through 10.
The Bluminati, was saying, well, if we were in the Central, we'd be leading, you know?
Yeah, it was garbage. The AL East was the five teams, and then the AL Central were the next five teams as far as like winning percentage. And then obviously AL West was a little different, but literally it went East, Central, 1 through 10 in order of record. It was insane.
I have a take here. I think there's six NL teams that are better than the best AL team.
Go.
I'll go Phillies, Mets, Braves, Dodgers. I'm not going to, not in order.
Okay. I thank you. Thank you. My heart skipped a beat.
Top three in the AL East, or the NL East, And then Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Padres are all better than the best team in the AL.
So nobody in the Central.
Three in the East and the top three in the West are all better than the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Royals, the Tigers, the Rangers, the Astros. I think all six of those teams are better than any team in the AL.
Well, I think we're better than the Diamondbacks.
There's no question. I don't know. I don't know yet.
I think our offense is way better.
And there's a chance for upside. I don't know. Nick, whatever you just said a second ago, you were muted. If you want to unmute.
I just said I don't think we're better than the Diamondbacks. We're not.
Yeah,
I think we
are.
I mean,
they just had Corbin Burnes, and they have Zach Gallen. They have Eduardo Rodriguez. They have everybody. They have so much depth. And they got Josh Naylor for nothing. I mean, I still think they're a better team than
us. I mean, I'm not going to die on the hill, but I just feel like we've got a lot of offensive upside. I think we've got a lot of upside in our rotation. You know, if Lucas Giolito ends up bouncing back, just imagine how amazing this rotation is going to be. You know, with how
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I want that really bad, Terry, but how many people have come back from a major injury, major surgery, and been like, what's up, Jesus?
I don't know. And just to be clear, we don't necessarily need him to, but I'm just saying if he does, it's going to be like, oh my God, you know? Because I expect Crochet to be dominant. I expect Buehler at a minimum to be better than he was last year. And I think Hauk can be as good as he was last year. And maybe Bayo finally figures it out. He had a pretty good last couple of months. So, you know, I just feel like the rotation is close enough and we've got an explosive offense. If Tristan Casas goes back to the second half of 2023, Duran does his thing. Devers does his thing. Bregman does his thing. And then just one of Anthony or Campbell breaks out. I just feel like we're probably better, I think, than the Diamondbacks. And I don't even – what are the Padres right now? I don't even know.
I'm banking on the Padres not selling one of their pitchers. I mean, if they keep Michael King and Dylan Cease, I think they could be better. I mean, I think they have the pitching upside to do it, and we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Tatis was solid last year, but not elite. So, you know, he'll have to improve on that. I think Machado will be solid. That young outfielder they have there.
Jackson Merrill?
Yes. He'll be
Manny Machado is a Hall of Famer, unfortunately. Yeah, he's going to be one. Jackson Merrill is on the rise. He's going to be a great player, and Fernando Tatis is, the more we look at it, probably will be a Hall of Famer, but he has that steroid issue, so maybe not. Who knows? But, yeah, I would still pick the Padres over the Red Sox in a seven-game series.
I don't like them. But that's fine. We'll see. It's not a bad problem to have to be in the weaker league, but – another thing, just to kind of circle back to Bregman, because I tried to sneak it in there and we got sidetracked. Will he definitely opt out after this first season? Because I don't think it's a lock at all. It's hard to walk away from $40 million a year, but at the same time, I mean, look at Arenado and his age 34 season coming up. They can't even give him away practically, which is crazy because I still think he's very good and I would have been happy to have him, but I just don't know what Bregman's market is going to be in 3 years.
I actually have a weird question. With the deferred money, if he opts out, does he still get it?
I think so. He should still get at least 40. He's got to at least get $40 million from the Red Sox, I would think.
Yeah, it'll be 40. I imagine it'll be $40 million deferred, but I don't know.
Does he get the other deferred money? Yeah. Like the deferred money for the other years? He doesn't get that.
No, I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
Right. I'm inclined to agree. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know if the full terms of the deal have come out yet. Have they?
No.
No. So we're still kind of in limbo land. We don't know yet.
I think he'll only get $40 million and that's it. And he has to get that much money.
Right.
Yeah.
I would lean towards he doesn't opt out unless he hits like 40 bombs, which I don't think happens, but at Fenway Park, it's not like an absolute, like, I wouldn't say it's impossible.
The only way I see it is if he's a stud this year and then is a stud in October and has some iconic October moments, and he's had them anyway in Houston, I think that's the only way it happens, that he opts out and still gets the bag.
If Houston, here's another thing. If Houston starts to light up the Christmas tree, do you think there's a world similar to when Justin Verlander got traded back to the Astros from the Mets? Do you think there's a world where if the Red Sox are not doing very well and for whatever reason they're failing miserably, that the Houston Astros say, yeah, sure, we'll entertain a deal to get Alex Bregman? You don't think so, Nick?
No, because if they're doing well, their replacements are doing well. If Isaac Paredes is hitting 30 bombs over that short porch in left field,
which you know he's going to do damage.
They don't need him back.
Yeah.
They've already replaced him. I mean, Jordan Alvarez is their DH. He's going to hit 40 bombs for them, probably. I mean,
of course,
I think
he's
still
a monster.
Have the guys to do it without Alex Bregman. And are they going to take on $40 million a year? Absolutely not. There's a reason why they didn't re-sign him.
Well, let me say this also. I think Houston pissed him off. It would have been really easy for him to take that deal and just stay where he's comfortable. That's what Alonso did. Alonso didn't want to go anywhere else but Queens. And so he took that lesser deal to do it.
I do have a quick question. Would you rather have had Pete Alonso
yes.
at his contract
yes.
or Alex Bregman at his contract? I think I'd rather go Pete Alonso, but Pete Alonso would guarantee a Yoshida DFA if he had to keep Casas. Like, that's how it would have to work.
Yeah.
With Bregman, you can keep Yoshida in the lineup, and the Red Sox are not comfortable just DFAing Yoshida.
Alonso was just a cleaner fit, and like I said, he makes Devers better. He might even make Duran better, even though he's hitting two spots behind him. And then he's a high on base guy for a guy like Tristan Casas to come up after him. I just feel like the dude would be a powerhouse. And I don't hate the fact that we got Bregman, because I think he will serve a good purpose. And that infield defense is finally going to be very good. But yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I'm taking Alonso.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the Alonso contract was a no-brainer. I mean, you could have – I know he wanted to be a Met, but you could have gone up there and offered $40 million a year for Alonso for 2 years, and you would at least make the Mets reconsider their offer. You would have to make them go up higher. Like, at least offer him that.
I would have given him
Bregman, you can offer $40 million for Alonso.
I would have given him the same exact contract that Bregman got, honestly. But the X factor here was Alex Cora. I mean, he's never going to choose Alonso over Bregman, so.
The one thing that Breslow promised us was better infield defense, and that's what Bregman brings. Alonso didn't bring that.
No, I mean, I don't know how good of a defender Campbell is, but
we don't know where right. he plays. He might play left field. He might play second. He might play short.
Well,
I really doubt it, but he might.
If Alonso was signed, he would have stayed at second. And so that's why I was wondering, you know, what his defensive, you know, ceiling was. But yeah, let's pivot a little, because, you know, the Red Sox essentially kept their promise, as you sort of just alluded to with the defense. You know, they were going to be aggressive. They were going to address a lot of needs, and it happened. And Charlie, we'll lead off with you. So has Sam Kennedy and John Henry won you back?
I think we're heading in the right direction, but I'm not going to conclusively say yes. I'll admit that I'm happy that we're actually spending money and actually doing the right thing, because fans have been screaming from the mountaintops, please spend money. Please bring in talent. Please make this team the way that it was. And I don't remember which person, if it was you or Jeremy on last night's show or the last show that I heard. So I apologize because I don't recall, but one person mentioned that we were not going to try to be a like frontline team. We're like a mid-market team. And that's kind of what it looked like we were doing, given the fact that, yes, we traded for Crochet, but we haven't re-signed him. We haven't extended him yet. So that long-term commitment to winning in Boston, I'm not buying into it because we're still doing these 2-3 year deals as evidenced by Bregman. And still, I'm happy we got that right-handed bat that we needed. Is it the superpower bat? No. But to Nick's point a moment ago, you are getting an elevated level of defense with Bregman over Alonso and a much higher batting average in relation to Alonso is probably going to hit 210, 220 again. The home run numbers probably won't be as high. I just think Alonso with the Green Monster would have just been silly. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that. But I'll say we're heading in the right direction. And I know that I'm not the only person that says that. But if we were able to get commitments down the line from some of our guys, I would say yes. I'm just not there yet.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm going to say no. But if we get that Garrett Crochet extension, we have a change of philosophy that they will go out there and extend. I know they don't want to extend the 30-year-old pitcher. That'll never happen again. Chris Sale, the David Price contracts are never going to happen again. But if you can go out there and extend a 25-year-old pitcher that you gave up multiple great assets for, I will give this an offseason an A. Like, you have to give this Garrett Crochet extension a chance. Like, you have to go and do it. So, I'm happy they gave $40 million to Bregman, which is crazy. They had to overpay for it, which is what the Boston Red Sox have come to. In the past, guys used to take discounts to come here. Not often, but it used to happen. It doesn't happen anymore. So they finally overpaid. John Henry finally put the money, his nuts on the table and said, hey, let's go get Alex Bregman. He found this guy he wanted. 3 years, whatever. I'm cool with 3 years. Everybody's cool with 3 years. $120 million. I think it is an overpay. I said it last night. I'll say it again tonight. But if you get Garrett Crochet, I'm totally back in. I'm back with Henry. I'm back. I don't know about Sam Kennedy. I still think he's a liar. But like, if you get Garrett Crochet signed for at least 5-6 years, then I'll say whatever you want. Like, I'm cool. Let's do it.
So for me, it's also a no. You know, they haven't won me over. Am I going to back off for now? Yes, absolutely. I'm going to back off. But what I want to see more is I want to see transparency. I want to see humility. I want to see John Henry become somewhat of a presence again. Maybe not all the time, but a couple of times a year, make himself available. And I want them to continue to keep their promises. And all along, it just felt like they were either lying or they were incompetent. And I don't know that this is what we're going to get in the future. It worked out for one winter and we got what we needed. So for me, it's an integrity thing. And what changed? Why are we as good as we are right now? When you look at this roster, what's the difference between now and 2021 and 2022? The major league roster.
The pitching depth is better. The pitching depth is definitely better in this year than it was in 2021. I think John Heidman was finally ready to stop embarrassing himself at this point. Like, I think he was embarrassed. It's kind of for me to say this picture that his wife put out on Instagram last night was a telltale sign that he was like, I'm sick of being clowned on. I'll put my nuts on the table. Let's do it. But I think he has standards now. I don't think he's going to go out and give the pitcher seven-year deals. It's never going to happen again. He will pick his spots. He'll do what he has to do to stay somewhat competitive, but we're never going to give a pitcher 7 years, 8 years, 9 years again, unless it's Garrett Crochet, and you have to do it to the 25-year-old Garrett Crochet. Like, if he doesn't do it, then I'm totally out. If he does it, I'm back in 100%. That's what it is at this point. You traded multiple assets for a 25-year-old ace. Go extend him until he's at least 32 years old. Let's make this happen. If he doesn't make it happen, then I'm totally back out on it, and they're liars again. Like, let's go win a World Series in the next 7 years. Let's do something.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to that, I mean, one of those 2 years you had Garrett Richards, and that was one of the most frustrating periods of my life. I was so angry when that was what we thought was a proper excuse of a pitcher in our rotation. I couldn't stand it. And I think Terry had to walk me off the ledge every other Sunday night because he was a dud so frequently. I think to your point, Nick, he did start getting pretty upset that he was getting clowned on every platform, because you can't come out here and say that you're content with the product that you've put out there when half your team isn't, I mean, they're not even a bench player on some teams, but they're starting in Boston. And the rotation that you have, that you're trotting out a one or a two, would be a depth piece on other teams. So yeah, there's a difference, because you can't say you're trying to win when you have Garrett Richards as your two or three starter. That's just not acceptable. And I mean, one of those years we had, what was it? It was Eovaldi, Rich Hill, Garrett Richards. I don't remember if Martin Perez was one of those five too, but it was just like, no sexy names. You have Garrett Crochet. You're absolutely right. If he's celebrating his 30th birthday with another team, I'm going to be pretty ticked off. And yeah, I'm with you 100%. If you don't re-sign him, yeah, you're still liars. You can say, oh, well, we did this, but what was it for? What was it for? If you're really going to do that, then wait for him to be a free agent, sign him, and you get to keep all your prospects. You would have kept Kyle Teal above all else. And a lot of people are still upset about that. So yeah, you need to sign him. If he's not spending his 30th, forget 32nd. If you're not spending your 30th birthday here, I'm going to be ticked off really bad.
I'm going to make it very, very simple. There's only one reason we've had a resurgence, a major one, and it's Jarren Duran. Where are you last year? Where are you the year before? I mean, he made you relevant. I just don't know where the pitching did take a step forward with Houck and Cutter and Bayo. You're kind of still kind of waiting for it, but the potential is there. But to me, Jarren Duran has put this entire team on his back by being the best leadoff hitter in all of Major League Baseball, one of the best base stealers, one of the best defenders now in the outfield. You take him out of the equation, I just don't think, I think you're still a middling team, and that's it. You know, I think we could have got here way sooner. Now, because Campbell and Anthony are on the precipice of getting here, maybe that was one of the bigger motivators to go get a Bregman type guy and a Crochet type guy and a Buehler type guy. But I think they took the longest way possible, and I think they could have got there a little bit sooner by being selective and, you know, and putting some building blocks in place. I reference Kevin Gausman all the time. I think that would have been a great signing that free agency winter. And I think they could have been signing 2 to 3 year deals to the Teoscar Hernandez type guys all along, but they chose not to. So Henry and Kennedy aren't back. That was a very self-imposed, self-inflicted, you know, lost season, you know, from 2022 and onward. So I need transparency. I need honesty. and I need a record of an ability to execute. And I'm not sure that we have that yet. It worked out this winter. But, and then how much of this was really Breslow? The one thing I'll give Breslow credit for is the pitching infrastructure. He's done an amazing job with that. And at the end of the day, maybe that's all he really is. Maybe he's just a pitching analytics guy that's going to build that for every team. That doesn't make you a GM. That doesn't make you this shrewd shark of an executive that's going to nail down that Garrett Crochet deal, because this front office might still mess that up. There's nobody in that front office that can navigate a deal like that. And this is one of the most complicated extensions you could possibly have because of the unprovenness of him. You know, he's only pitched one full season. There's a lot of risk involved. How do you navigate that? I think that would have been challenging for a prime Theo Epstein and for even a Dave Dombrowski type guy. And now supposedly Breslow's the guy, and I'm not even sure that he is. I'm still pretty convinced that Craig Breslow has the least amount of authority of the 29 other people across the league in those other front offices that are in his position. So I'm not all the way back yet with this, and it's going to take a while, multiple years for me to say, I'm glad John Henry owns the Boston Red Sox.
I'm giving Henry more credit than Kennedy at this point. I think Henry had to approve of the $40 million a year. I think Breslow was the guy that said, I'm not giving him six. I'm not giving him five. I'm going to stick to three. So I don't even know what I'm going to give Breslow credit for that. I think it just kind of lucked out that Bregman wanted the Red Sox. And Breslow was like, yeah, I'm not giving you four. I'm not giving you five. And then I really do think Henry was like, as soon as we got that pick from Pivetta, let's just give him whatever he wants. I'm sick of being laughed at. I'm ready to put my nuts on the table. Let's just do it. And didn't Liverpool lose like a couple days ago? Like their championship game? I don't know. I'm not a soccer guy, but
yeah, they lost 1-0 to Portsmouth, I think. And it was because they benched a majority of their starters. Like
I really think that might have had something to do with it. He's like, I've got clowned with the Red Sox. I'm about to get clowned with Liverpool. Let's go put my money. Let's go do something. It sucks saying that, but like I think it has direct correlation that Nick Pivetta signed, and then an hour later, Alex Bregman signed. They got their pick back. Liverpool lost. I think it had everything to do with everything. I think it matched up perfectly, and they kind of got lucky. So, I mean, I'm not giving them credit here. I mean, I'll give them credit. Yes, I'm happy Alex Bregman signed, but I need the Garrett Crochet credit, I need the Garrett Crochet extension to give him 100% credit and be back into it. Like, it has to happen. You cannot give up these assets to not extend Garrett Crochet.
So it was a nothing. It was like a nobody team called Plymouth Argyle, and they won on a penalty kick. But I don't think for one second that anyone thinks that Liverpool's going to go away. Liverpool's the best team in Prem. So while they lost a game that, you know, it did happen, they lost to Plymouth Argyle, and it wasn't for Prem, it was for the FA Cup, and they're out. I'm pretty sure they're out, but they're still number one on the table. They've only lost one game in 24. So I don't think he has anything to worry about as far as getting clowned.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and talk about it. I don't know anything about soccer. I never have, but I just saw some sort of Liverpool reference, and I'm like, maybe that has something to do with it here, but
maybe
I don't know. I'm not gonna sit here and talk about soccer. I don't know anything about it.
I'll say one other thing about Henry winning me back. If after this season, whether it's a overwhelmingly positive season or a negative season, if he gets Sam Kennedy out of that front office and just puts him somewhere else in the Fenway Sports Group, that would win me back. I'd be like, okay, that's a major step forward. And I don't know what that would mean for Breslow, but if we start cleaning up that front office and we start putting newer people in there, everybody in that front office is a dinosaur. sore. They've been around forever, 20 plus years. If we start replacing them with newer nerds, you know, that are up on the trends and can identify value and not get burned like the current crop of executives we have, that would win me back. But I think that's an extreme long shot, but that would be an example of something that would win me back.
We got plenty of time. I mean, I'm very curious to see, you know, right now, like you mentioned, we just got Bregman. Let's just see how this plays out. I'm very curious to see how spring training goes. And I'm very curious to see how the reception will be for the rest of the team. I expect the rest of the team will accept him, and he's immediately going to be someone who does not create controversy. I think he's going to take it and be like, yep, whatever, moving on. I'm happy to be here. Let's start winning ball games. Let's win a World Series. I expect Alex Bregman to say that.
I think he will. And I think
I agree.
Is anybody wearing number two? I don't think anyone
is. That's what he's going to get. He'll get two. It went from Bogarts to Justin Turner to Dom Smith to Alex Bregman, probably.
Yeah. Okay. I was looking at that. I'm like, ooh, he's wearing number two in Houston. I'm pretty sure that's available. So we'll see. All right. Well, I think we covered it. It was a much longer show than I anticipated, but I think it was a good one. We will probably be back on Sunday, I would assume. I can't imagine we'll be back sooner unless something crazy unforeseen happens. But so everyone, we can all take a deep breath, as I essentially said last night, and we're going to be good. We're going to be fun. And that's a good feeling. So have a great weekend. Take care.